Today's shir in Mishnah Berurah Yomi is Daf Samach Dalet Amud Beis, and this will be our seventh and final shir on the Mishnah Sofrim. The actual material that we'll be looking at will actually be from Samach Gimel Amud Beis and Samach Dalet Amud Aleph and Amud Beis, and we'll be seeing what the Chafetz Chaim writes about the tzura, the form of the letters Mem until the end of the Aleph Beis. In Yitz Hashem tomorrow, we will go back on track with regular shirim of Shulchan Aruch and Mishnah Berurah. Chafetz Chaim says that the letter Mem is really like a kaf and a vav together. The right half being the kaf and then the straight up vav being the final formation of the letter Mem. It's very important that on the right top side it should be circular. The left top side is square until it hits the letter vav, opponent of the letter Mem. The right side bottom, though, has to be very fully square. As well, the roof has to be lamal or shaviv lo agol. It's straight across the whole point until it hits the vav component of the letter mem. And only on the right side, the top on the right side, is it curved. And the top part component chaf of the letter mem should be equal to the bottom part of the letter chaf of the component of the letter mem. This is all the chatchila. You connect the two components of the letter mem, the vav to the chaf. There is a single smaller attachment and then a pagam cut on a space, so it's not an exact connection across the whole way, it's a connection of a thinner line. Letter vav is slanted a little bit towards the left, and it should reach all the way down to the bottom, equal to the chaf component of the letter mem. And one should be very careful that, of course, the bottom part of the vav and the chaf do not touch each other. There has to be an open space towards the bottom left of the letter mem. But this space shouldn't be too long, resulting in the vav part being too slanty. The Mem Sofis is, of course, a totally enclosed letter, with only one of the four sides being rounded. That's the top right, although there are even opinions to say that all four sides should be squared off so that it shouldn't look at all like a samach. The latter, that all four sides should be squared, is the opinion of the Prima Gadim. The top left corner of the Mem Sofis should extend out beyond the letter, like the head of a vav, but not too much out. Again, there are many more details for all of the letters. We're only doing them on a very cursory basis. The next letter is the letter Nun, Kfufa, the regular Nun, which has, as its top of the Nun, really the letter Zion, with the three Tagin on the top of that. One shouldn't make it too wide, so it doesn't look like the letter Beis. The bottom component, the bottom Beis, has to extend more out to the left than the top is extended out, in order that it doesn't look like other letters as well, a Beis or a Chaf. The Zion stem part, coming down from the top, has to be slanted somewhat towards the right. At least l'chatchila. A Nun Sofis is the next letter, known as the Nun Pshuto, straight long Nun, and it looks very much like a Zion, except it's extended down much longer than a Zion extends. It looks like on the top, exactly like a Zion with a three Tagin, and the length of the stem should be long enough that if you wanted to, you could bend up the bottom part and turn it into a regular Nun. That's how long the stem down going towards the bottom of the letter has to be. This should be at least the length of four kol musin, including the top part. If you made it shorter, then it's a problem potentially, and you have to show it to a young child to see whether you would call this a zayin or whether you would call it a nun. The bottom length, actually, of all the sofis letters has to be long enough so that you could curve it on itself and turn it into the straight letter, the kfufa letter of the sofis letter. Next letter is the samach. Its gag has to be lamalo aruka, which means that it stretches out on the left side more so than on top of the rest of the circle. And other than the top left extension out, the other three, right top, right bottom, and left bottom, are all curved. It must, of course, be fully enclosed. There can't be any openings in it. It's, of course, very important that this be strictly adhered to so it doesn't look like a letter Mem Sofis. The next letter, Ayin, is also composed of two parts. You have on one side the Yud, on the right side, which is, of course, slanted, which attaches into the base of the letter Ayin, and then coming out of that base on the left side is a letter Zayin with a three Tagin on the top as well. As with all the letter Zayins that we're talking about, you have to be very careful that the Tagim are separate, and as with all the letters that have a left side and a right side that are separated, you have to make sure that they do not touch at the top. You can't enclose or circle in the letter Ayin. It must be a separation on the top roof between the Zayin component and the Yud component. The Zayin component should come out from the middle of the base, not from the end of the base. The next letter is a Pei Kfufa, the regular Pei, which the Chofetz Chaim tells us actually has a letter Beis inside of it. It's called a Beis Lavon. If you were to go and take the outer part, the dark part of the letter Pei, and look at it carefully, you can see that there's actually a beis inside of the dark part that's white, that's parchment, and that's called the beis lavon inside the letter pei. If you see and understand that, then all the features of the letter pei make a lot of sense. And that explains why certain parts of the letter pei are curved and certain parts of the letter pei are flush or straight, squared off, and why there are certain additional parts to the right side of the letter pei that allow us to have the letter beis written inside of it. One has to be very careful that the part of the pei called the nekuda, the yud part that extends into the middle of the letter pei, is facing obviously in that direction towards the right, and it isn't closed off. It must be a space, obviously. It can't have a connection to the right side. At the top left of the pei, there is a single tag or an oketz al poneha. And if you extend that tag down, that actually attaches to the nekuda, the inner facing part of the letter pei that's coming in from the left towards the middle. The pei pshuto, the pei sofis, has a square roof on both sides with a tag coming out of the top left side, which is incidentally the same exact way that the top of the regular pei is made. And the right leg has to be long enough so that if you bend it up, pei sofis will actually look like a regular pei. And that's important, as we mentioned, for all the sofis letters, that their right bottom part that extends down, or the part that extends down, when you fold it up, it will actually look like the kfufa letter, like the plain regular letter. All the rest of the details of the pei sofis are exactly the same as the letter pei. And again, one has to be very careful with the nekuda, the inner part of the pei sofis as well, not touching the other side, closing it off. Now we go to the tzadi. Tzadi is also composed of really two letters, a nun kfufa, a regular nun, and a yud that's attached on the top right to the letter nun. It actually comes out from the middle of the diagonal part of the letter nun, going from left top corner to the right bottom corner. And the letter tzadi is essentially made up of a properly yud, a properly formed yud, and a properly formed nun. And it has, at the top of the nun, the three tagin, as do all of the Shatnez Getz letters. Again, as with all letters like this that have two branches on the top, you have to be very, very careful that the two branches, the two top parts, the yud and the nun top parts of the tzadi, do not touch each other. There must be a space in between them. The tzadi pshuto, the tzadi tsofis, is basically the top part of the tzadi, and instead of it being bent at the base, but the base goes straight down, as if it was a long or an elongated zayin. So the tzadi tsofis basically is the same yud attached to the base nun that we had in the tzadi that's the regular tzadi, except over here, you don't have the nun part, you have a straight line coming down instead of the nun slanting, and you have basically an elongated zayin. If you want to, you can basically say that it's a yud and a nun sofis, which is basically an elongated zayin. One has to be very careful with the lengths of these in order that you don't run into a problem that it's confused with a different letter. And it should be long enough so that if you wanted to, you could bend it up, fold it over, and have it look like a tzadi. Next letter is kuf. The top gag is equal width across the entire way, but it's square on the left side and it's rounded on the right top side. There's a tag coming out towards the left, but not all the way over towards the left. And one should make sure that this tag is not very thick. It should be very thin, because if it's thick, it could actually make it look like a lamed. The bottom right part of the kuf, which is like a chaf, but not all the way over on the bottom part, should not extend all the way over. And it's rounded on the bottom right. And of course, there must be a space between that and the left longer leg. The left leg is like a nun pshuta, a nun sofis, but it's not as long. The left leg of the kuf should be near the rooftop, the gag, but obviously not touching it. And there should be enough space there that it's recognizable as a space, but it shouldn't be too far away, otherwise it begins to look like a hay. The left leg, when it comes down, is somewhat on a slant towards the right side, but obviously you have to be very, very careful that it doesn't touch the right leg at all. Next letter is the letter resh. The top gag part of the letter resh is even across the entire top, but at the right side, it must be very careful to make sure that it's agula, mamish. It must absolutely be curved at the top right, otherwise it will look like a dalet if it's squared off at all. The right leg is actually much shorter than the gag, in order that it shouldn't look like a chaf pshuta. So the top part of the resh is like a beis, and the bottom part should just be a little bit of an extension down from the top right. If the top part isn't extended long enough, then it's going to look like the letter vav, so one has to be very careful with the letter resh. The next letter, shin, is comprised of three heads. The rightmost head has the shape of the letter vav on a slant, with the top part of the Vav tilted somewhat towards the left, not straight up. The second head, the middle head, is looking like a Yud, has a shorter distance to hit the base, and its head faces straight up. And there's a little coats on the top of the middle head, at least l'chatchila. And the leftmost, third head, Tzorech Laso So Bitnuso Zayin, that looks like the letter Zayin, which has a three tagin on the top of it, as all Zayins do. And one has to be very careful that all three of these heads are not touching each other, there's a clear space in between them. The left head extends straight down to the pointy base of the letter Shin, and the middle head and the right head are angled in towards that same point, so it looks like the Shin is really standing on a point and not a long, elongated base. Chazal tell us that the word sheker starts with a shin, so it has very little basis for sheker, for lying, and that's why it comes to a point. And in fact, all the letters of sheker are all single pointy bottoms, as opposed to the letters of MS, which are all flat, broad-based letters that have something to support them. Interesting. And the final letter of the Aleph Beis is the letter Tuf. Tuf can be thought of really as the letter Dalet on the top and on the right, and the left side is really like an upside-down Vav, with the head of the Vav at the bottom extending out towards the left of the letter. Some make it more like a Dalet, an upside-down Dalet. And the Mishnah Berurah says, wherever we don't really know what the difference is between two opinions, which is the correct one, you follow what the minig is. Look and see what people, Puk Chazi Mayama Debar, go and see what people do. The left leg, of course, goes all the way up to the top and touches the roof. It's upside-down, either Vav or Dalet, is not coming out from the most left top of the letter Tuf, but comes out from somewhat on the left side towards more towards the middle, but still on the left side, but not at the very most left extreme position. And then when you have the extended part out at the bottom, that actually will be parallel to the very top of the letter Tuf. This allows you to have another letter in close proximity to the letter Tuf in writing a sheet. As we've mentioned many times, there is so much more. We have barely scratched the surface, no pun intended, with all of these letters. And these 7 days of Shiurim and the Mishnah Sofrim just are an inkling as to the complexity of all of these halachos of Safras. In the little time remaining, we'll go over some very last Chazara halachos of Tefillin, and then we will start in Yitzhak Hashem tomorrow with Simen Lamed Zayin. Simen Lamed Beis was one of the longest simonim in the first section of Aruch Chaim, and dealt with many of the very difficult dinim of Ksivas HaTefillin, which we will not go over again now in the very limited time that we have. Likewise, Simen Lamed Gimel dealt with a lot of ways to fix the tefillin, and most of these dinim in both Lamed Beis and Lamed Gimel are really going to be done by a sofer, so we'll try to focus on the applications that are practical for a regular person who's not a sofer. One has to inspect one's tefillin to make sure that they're not ripped or torn in any place, that they're black where they're supposed to be black. If there are spots there, then one should blacken them, and one should blacken them always l'shem mitzvah's tefillin, in order that it should be done l'shma, which is a requirement, according to many, either halacha l'moshe Sinai or l'chatchila. The black part of the ritzuos is the external component. The inner side can actually be from any color except for red, because if it was red, it would look like maybe you had blemishes or wounds on your body that were bleeding. And that's why the inner straps were red, but some have the custom to blacken the inside as well. There are minimal shiurim sizes for the ritzuos if they rip, and there are ways to correct them possibly again. We don't have time to go into all of those details, but they're usually, again, they're going to be done by a sofer, but a person should make sure that the ritzuos are long enough on the shoyah to wrap at least around the fingers, and then one wraps them around the arm to tighten them into, around the hand to tighten them into place, and the shorosh should extend down, as we pointed out, at least two tefachim, and ideally the right side should be longer than the left side. The right side should go down to the midsection of the person, and the left side should go down to the bottom of the breastbone. Simen Lamed Dalet is a very important simen. It tells us about the proper placement of the parshios, the differences between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin, the correct ordering of the parshios. The four parshios have to be in a specific order according to Rashi, specific order according to Rabbeinu Tam. There is a wrapping then inside the shorosh that you can tell the difference externally between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin by where the Seor HaEgel, the hair of the Egel that's used to bind the parshios, where that comes out will be different between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam Tefillin. One looks carefully on the external front of the tefillin of the Shorosh, you can see where it comes out, and if it comes out between the third and the fourth box, as opposed to between the second and the third compartment, that's the difference between Rashi, the third and the fourth, and Rabbeinu Tam, the second and third. Otherwise, the differences between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam are all internally and in the way that they're placed in the compartments or in the order that they are found on the parchments. There actually are other opinions, the Shimusha Rabbah and the Ravid, which are parallel opposites of Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. And we talked about which people wear which sets of tefillin. Everybody wears Rashi tefillin, and some individuals wear Rabbeinu Tam, and there are even those great individuals that also put on Shemusha Rabba tefillin by Mincha, and this custom of the Arizal. But the essential mitzvah today is we paskin to put on Rashi's tefillin. Sin Lamed Hei dealt with the different customs that we have in terms of how many rows, the parshios of the Shoyad and the Shorosh, each parsha should be written on, but those dinim are not ma'akev. And this brings us to the conclusion of some very difficult and complex halachos of Safris. And Amir Tzashem, I hope I haven't lost too many people because we didn't want to skip anything. And Amir Tzashem, we will begin tomorrow with Simin Laman Zayin, getting back to some of the more bread and butter practical halachos of Hilchos Tefillin. Thank you for listening. That concludes today's shir.